Hey, what's up? Hey guys, for you guys that know me, hey fam, for you guys that don't know me, my name's Igor. And what came on my mind, like when you asked us just to share about like anything that's really been going on, there's been this thing happening recently where it was just like something kind of clicked in my mind and in my relationship with God. And it was this crazy thing where there was this moment that I was stressing about the things that were happening, you know. Right now, I'm not living in Utica. I'm just here for the weekend. And in the place that I'm living, my internship is ending soon. I'm like, what's happening, God? What's going on? But there was like this moment where I was praying and there was like a profound peace. And the thought that came into my mind was like, why am I stressing out? And after that, I thought about it. And the conclusion I came to was basically, I'm chilling because God got me. It's really, really simple. But I think it's something that all of us should know. If we're walking with God, God got us. We're good. That's pretty much it.
Nice, thank you. Yeah. All right, who else? All right, if there's no one else, we're going to hand it over to Oleg. Oleg has a word prepared for us, and let's just tune our ears and see what Oleg has to say today. Thanks.
Yeah, see, people come to Utica for their weekends, and you guys are trying to go to the city. Oh. Well, it's nice to see everyone. If you hear some music, it's probably the piano downstairs, so just ignore it. They're probably worshiping. All right. That was awesome worship. Man, it's when you just draw near, like I was just beholding his face. You know, John said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that just was so personal and real when you realize the simplicity and what he actually did for us. And so we're going to start here today a little strong, and then we'll go through there. So I've been having people work with me, and we're bringing the love out of the message always, so it's a good thing. My title today is Don't Miss Me, I'm Here. And I just want to let you guys know that I'm here, and you've been missing out on me, so here goes my message. No, I'm kidding. I believe this is a powerful invitation from God to live the fullness of our lives now. And I feel that there's such a relevance to this God's heart for our young people and for our young days. And so I want to talk about this. And, you know, you can either pay attention or you can use your phone like you do every other 7 days of the week. And it just depends what you actually want in life. And so I want to encourage you guys that if you give God an ear, he said, if you have ears to hear, then let them hear. So I hope you guys are paying attention and hearing. So we'll start out this question, true or false? It's my new thing. I just asked a true or false. I heard someone do that, and I was like, it blew my mind when they do that. It was like, cool. So I can do whatever I want to, true or false. So if you think it's true, pick up your hand. If you think it's false, put your hand down. I mean, pick your hand up. All right. Well, let's see. I personally think it's true because I think that's one of the most powerful things that God gave us is the will, our will, and that separates us. So, like right now, I can go over here, or I guess the trick is in the question, can. So, you know, I could do whatever I want. I could even curse on this microphone if I wanted to, right? But I probably wouldn't. So let's open up Ecclesiastes 11:9, and we'll start with some right scriptures here. All right. It says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into the judgment. Next verse. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart, put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. I mean, this whole book of Ecclesiastes, like, you need a study guide on it, because he starts here, he starts making something, and he ends up back in the circle. And I that's what I think that, you know, this, I kind of related to something like, have you ever wanted something so bad, or wanted to buy something so bad, and nothing matters until you get that? And then you get it, and it just hangs in your closet for, like, ever. And you're like, it's not as cool as it looked. Or it doesn't look on me as cool as it did. And I think what he's saying here is everything comes full circle. I'm having trouble talking today. Everything comes full circle. And see, he starts off with, walk in the ways of your heart. Enjoy your youth. Just do whatever you want. And then he ends it with a full circle. But remember that your life and your youth just is gone like that. And he comes full circle. And really what I took away from this was, because he says, let your heart cheer you. If we're thinking about our eternal value, then the things that cheer us should have eternal value. And the things in our heart. So that's why one of the greatest gifts that God gave us was our willpower. And so we can do, but he's also, wisdom is, okay, but what are you doing? So that when it comes to a full circle, you have something that has eternal value with your life. And so we're going to look into that tonight. My first point is, don't miss me, I'm here. And that's life talking. So we'll start with there. The writer, he addresses two important issues here, I believe, for young people. And the first one is, we often see ourselves as a long time to live. And so, you know, we chase those things that we desire. And he ends there with saying, but just remember that you're going to give an account of what you did. And so he reminds us as young people who we think we're invincible and we have a life to live, he reminds us how precious life is and how quick it is. And he says that our time is just goes by so quickly. Our youth is like vanity. It's here and there. And the other thing he says is we often despise our youth because we want to be hurled forward in time. And I think sometimes that's a problem for young people because we often want to be somewhere else, like older. Like, just hurl me into adulthood. And I just want to get over my young days. So I think that's because we always see ourselves as later. So someone we want to become is, like, right here. But what, if you're looking here, if you're in Christ, you know how we're eternal in Christ? It's crazy because, yeah, our bodies, you know, it says you'll return to dust and your spirit returns to God. Well, you have this time frame of your life, right? And it's like you're here physically, but you're always. You're just, it's like a concept where you're, you know, I'm 21, 22, 23, but I'm actually eternal because of Christ. So my body is going to die, but my life here, my physical life and what I'm doing here can have eternal value so that after this life, I'm still me. And I think he reminds us not to despise our youth and not to be trying to get so far over there because we can have an impact right now, even here. And what we do even here, we can have that impact. So I wrote this down that what I'm doing now is directly influencing who I am later. And so because we see something or, you know, it's like a light switch. We hope that one day when I blank, get married, get a job, get something, all of a sudden adulthood switches on like a light switch. But what you're doing now is getting you there. And what your priorities now are shaping you into who you will be as you go on. Does that make sense? As you go, all right. So I think he reminds us how valuable life is. And he's saying, don't miss me, I'm here. Your life is talking and saying, don't miss me, I'm here. You can have a life even when you're young. It doesn't start when you're older, or it doesn't get, like, doesn't necessarily, you know, transform when you're older. It starts now. So we see this in 1 Timothy where Paul talks in chapter 4, verse 12. He talks to Timothy and he says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And I think he's reminding Timothy that you were created in the image of God. And so don't miss out on your impact now. So what I wrote from this, and not necessarily what Paul's saying to Timothy, but what I want to say to you is you're created in the image of God. So don't miss your impact now because you have an idol or something that you want to be later. And sometimes because we want to be something so bad, we're just looking at that and missing our impact now. But 1 Peter 3:3-4, I just think this is important. So if you can just a couple more verses. It says, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." And that's like, if you're looking at this, our definition of success is completely opposite of the world. Because the best things about you, don't let them be your finances or your looks or your clothes or your style, like that people remember you for. Let the best things about you be things that are internal, a quiet spirit, a value. And that's the best thing about you. So don't miss out on life now because you want to be something after. And you can have an impact now, even in your young days. And this leads us into point two. Don't miss me, I'm here. And it's Jesus talking. And I was just thinking about it, and it was like, wow. You know, I claim to be that generation that we always say, right? What do we say usually? This is a relationship, not a religion, right? I mean, we're the generation that's like pushing that so hard. It's all about relationship. But then I was looking at my own life, and I realized that I was actually, my parents were spending more time with God than I was. And I realized we kind of hid behind that label, or I hid behind that label, because I was it's all about relationship, but really it was all about me. And it challenged me, like, wow, I love how my grandparents and my parents, they spend time in prayer. They found something. They actually have a relationship there. And I want to see that in my life. And so I think what's missing, and what you see the tragic thing in a lot of our relationships, is there's something missing. What is that? Well, I think it's sacrifice. Because how we act now is like, okay, you can be my friend as long as you're not interfering with my life. So as soon as you're not saying something that I agree with, or you need some help fixing your car or something, you know, all of a sudden, like, you're too much of a burden on my relationship. We kind of don't sacrifice anymore for each other. And we kind of have our own lives and don't bother me. But what a relationship really is sacrifice. And if you look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, I just had a whole different view on this recently, and I was just listening to some people speak. And it says that not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" And then I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, who practice lawlessness." I mean, that's kind of, it's like, it seems like a direct verse, and then it also challenges us, like, what is going on? Because the Bible says that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I believe that Jesus, he's not an experience or a ministry, he's a person. And he's inviting us today to actually know him. So let's not hide behind labels or ministries. And our identity, it comes from obedience. And our obedience only comes from knowing him. Because he says, you do the will of my Father. He says, not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," just because you said a sinner's prayer or something that you cling on to, that's your ticket. No, you got to know him. And it's so simple. I'm not saying it's a complicated steps, but it's knowing him. It's not running a ministry or hiding behind a label. He invites us to know him, and he wants us to know him, and he actually waits to be wanted. And that's something I read from A.W. Tozer's book that was so good, The Pursuit of God. He says he waits to be wanted. And so oftentimes I think we can get so involved in the ministry. Like, I can have just youth, and I'm thinking I'm doing so well because I'm preaching here and you guys are not. Or we can say, oh, I go to church and I said the sinner's prayer, and I'm just going to get to heaven, so I'm going to live my life. But I think both ways are wrong, because we need to know him. It's an invitation to know him. And from that, I'm operating and I'm living out his life in me. Does that make sense? So don't be satisfied with that. Search for more. And maybe, Ben, can you bring it up? Maybe I can help you with this explanation. So it's going to take a second. So just relax. Say hi to your neighbor. All right. Are you ready? This is often what we do, right? So this is me. This is something that I want. It's my car keys. And so this is often how we act. Does it make sense? Sometimes we cling on to those things and make them our idols that we want so bad in our lives. God, I don't want to give this up. I don't want to give up my time, my Saturdays. I don't want to give up my car. Like, just let me have the car. Just let me have this. And like something that grasps our heart so much. And it's so silly because we get stuck here. And this is grasping our attention and grasps our heart so tightly. We're clenching onto it that we can't get out. And Jesus says, okay, I got it out. There's so much more here. And it's funny because we think that, and the way we act often is that one thing is so important to us, when the way the Bible teaches, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. And so when we don't put the kingdom of God first, but we want that one thing so much, we're so paralyzed with our lives, and it grasps our heart, and we're clenching it. We're not letting it go. When he invites us to all this around, you can have happiness, you can have peace, you can have love, you can have prosperity, you can have whatever. Prosperity in your relationship, a freedom, prosperity in the joy, like you're just so full of it. You know, even your finances, even your relationships, everything. And he invites us to that, but because we're so easily ensnared and we have these idols, we just grasp that so tightly and we can't let it go. And that's why Christ says, you know, he says that narrow is the gate. We all know that. Narrow is the path. And I always thought that before, like, oh, it's just so difficult, you know. We just got to stay on it. We can't have anything. But he also says you can have life and life more abundantly. So if we have all this, if we put the kingdom of God first, but the path is narrow, what does that mean? Well, and it's interesting because it's funny, although it's the most narrow path, it's also the path of the most freedom. And it's the path of the most life. And I never thought about it that way. I thought God wanted to narrow my life down, and he wanted to make it miserable, and all he wanted to do was put me on a narrow path that gave me the most freedom I ever had, the most joy I ever had, the most purpose I ever had, the most identity I ever had. But I was so busy holding on to something that in a fire, in an accident, just gone like this. And whatever it is, whatever you identify with, that idol in there is your identity. And when you lose that, when you lose your ages of partying, when you lose your ages of good cars or financial blessings, you have nothing. And so that's why it's so important to me. It changed my mind. And I realized that I was so afraid to lay it all down. But then I found that by laying it all down, I actually gained everything. And that completely transformed my life. He completely transformed my life. And I'm still blessed. I have all those. You can tell I still have that because it's my keys. but it doesn't grasp my heart. And when I find something that grasps my attention so much, then and I'm fighting over it, and I'd rather give up anything but it, I go and I let it go because I don't want to be ensnared by that, and I don't want to be ruled by that. And I'd rather let it go and, you know, someday get it or someday whatever and have God than hang on to it so tightly and be paralyzed by everything else that he wants to give me. I hope that makes sense to you. Are you going to trust him that he wants to give you life and life more abundantly, or are you going to hang on to that one thing or that series of things? And point number three, don't miss me, I'm here. And it's people. It's people talking, or the streets. Jesus, he said, one of some of his last words were, go. Very simple, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And in Isaiah 45:3, if we can take a look at that, this, I never understood this verse until I went out and did it, and it transformed the way I saw it. Isaiah 45:3, I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. I'll give you the treasures of darkness. See, I believe not only is he talking about the secret place when you meet with him and you find the real treasure, he's also talking about people. And I didn't know that until we were going on a treasure hunt. And I thought it was just a birthday party. Sorry. And I thought it was just a birthday party. And so I'm going there. I'm like, it's raining. What kind of egg hunt or treasure hunt are you guys going to do? Like for kids, you know, I thought someone was asking me to help them for a kids party. And what they were actually doing is we went to the mall and we went out there and we looked for people. And before we even got there, we started praying and hearing from God. And I got my own person. I got leather jacket, a biker, some other things. Some people got blonde hair, pink pants. Some got one of my friends or the people that I was with, he got Jay and a couple other things about him. We walk in, right? I'm like, let's go into the second floor. I like going in that way. We walk in, the first store we stop there. He goes up to a guy. He's like, is your name Jay? And he's like, how'd you know? And he says, is this and this and this, and started pointing out his life. And that guy was so shocked. And his wife came up, and man, he was struggling. And he knew the Lord, and he wanted to start something. And we were able to minister to him from people driving on the thruway. I went to with someone, and we did pairs, you know, so he could be more bold. And I found my biker guy. He was a biker. He was poor. He was sitting there. And he was wondering what's up with all the religions. And I was able to talk to him, maybe not super effectively, but about Christ. And they met so many other people that would just break down, and sometimes they get rejected. And it was just amazing. The treasure of the kingdom is souls. And he invites us, God invites us to go. And he commands us to go, actually. And it's part of who we are. And so we often hide ourselves from our greatest assignment, which is to love God and then love your neighbor as yourself. And a lot of times that's because, you know, your youth group doesn't always have to have an event or ministry for you to go do that. It's who you are. And he says, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the world. He gave us the Holy Spirit so that we're never alone, even when we're by ourselves. Isn't that awesome? So that we can go and share, and we don't need an event or we don't need to hide behind a ministry. We can go there. And as we grow, the funny thing about our faith growing or is that when I'm sharing, I'm so nervous. And yet, when I'm done sharing, I feel more encouraged than I did without sharing. So oftentimes, we try to build ourselves before we go. When we go, it actually builds us. And that's because, like, obedience is the key to identity. And it unlocks that for us. And when we obey the voice of God, do the will of the Father, it shows us who we are, and it strengthens us and encourages us. And like, man, this is who I am. And we see this in when John writes, But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? When you see your brother in need and you're a Christian and you shut up your heart from him, or you say, oh, be blessed, how do you have the love of God in you? That doesn't help him at all. And so I used to get upset about, maybe a little bit, about giving, you know? So like, you're just starting to save money, someone's birthday comes up. You're just starting to save money, and all of a sudden from India, this guy comes and he needs money. Or you just finally started to save up money for that thing you wanted, and it's like, this person needs help. And you, when we aren't in control, and we aren't properly using what we have, then we get upset, because these are all opportunities that show us that we're not in control. And they show us how we've been misusing what we've been given. Because God, he always gives us enough for our needs, the Bible says, and to share. And that looks very practical to me. And the Bible actually says in Proverbs 19:17, our last verse today is, whoever is kind to the poor, NIV says, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. Whoever has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. You can actually lend to God. And that for me, that was like, whoa. Like, when I'm helping someone, I'm lending to the Lord. And I'm doing it cheerfully, not because I'm expecting from him, but he's never in debt to us. He always returns, always blesses. And so one of the practical ways I was able to do that is I set it aside first, and then I can give it. Because I don't feel guilty about it, or I don't feel stressed about it. When it's all chaos, and you're just trying to pull out of nothing, you just feel down, and you're angry and upset. But when you set it aside, this much is going for this, I have $10 this month to give away to someone who needs it, or just to make someone's day. And then when that time comes, it's like, hey, I already set it aside, I can give it to them. And that's really, I mean, that's budgeting right there. And so when we start thinking of that, and we start living our lives, maybe it's only $10 a month right now for you. But I guarantee you, man, that when you give it to someone who needs it, that'll bring you so much more identity and joy than spending that money on yourself. And so sometimes we hold on to that so much. If we let it go, we have all the blessings for us. So as in closing, we go over the points. One of them, the first one was, don't miss me, I'm here, and that was life. Your young days have an impact. And what you're doing now is making who you are later. So some of you want to get married, some of you want to travel, some of you want to be a good leader or be involved in church. That starts now. Because if it doesn't start now, when you get married, all those issues come up, and you end up like those people in your family or in your friends that you know of, that you're like, I don't want something like that. But we can be the change if we don't miss out on what we're valuing here. The second thing was, don't miss me, I'm here, and that was Jesus talking. And our point from that was, our identity comes from obedience. And so to obey him, we need to know him. So don't hide behind a label or a ministry. And get to know the Lord, spend time with him. And he invites us to that. And he waits to be wanted, right? Like that example. And then our last point was, don't miss me, I'm here, and that was people talking. And there's the world all around us that needs us. And sometimes we wait for youth events when we could be doing it every day. We go to Character, we go to UCR, anywhere we're going, anywhere we are, we can spread. Not only financial, we could do smiles, love, prayers, everything. And when we do those, I guarantee you, you're going to find out who you are more, and you're going to grow so much when you do that than trying to just study it. Obedience, you know, it's that key. It brings that out, your identity in you. And because you know you're doing the will of the Father, and when you do that, you actually have to know Christ. So you're knowing him, and you're growing in that. So I hope that encourages you guys to really start thinking about what's your priority, what's your values, and we can start letting go of certain things that have such a hold on us, so that we can get and we can be used for all those things that God has for us. All right, thank you. Let's close in prayer. So if you could stand up. Father, we thank you for tonight and for all of your blessings that you've given us. And we're always a channel, not a reservoir. You're always pouring into us so that we have enough for our needs, and we have enough to share to love those around us. God, and I pray for a shift in people's management and leadership and control, that as they give their lives to you and they put the kingdom of God first, all those other things are added to us. But when we try to get our goals first, we get nothing in the end. And so I pray for that, God. I pray that you release boldness in a generation that knows they're never alone and begins to share you, begins to talk about you, begins to love people all around us, wherever we are, so that your name would be glorified, so that treasure could be added to the kingdom, which is souls, and that we can be bold in what we do and grow in our identity in you. And we pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys for coming to Elevate. Downstairs we have a fellowship, so hope to see you there.